sing out with splendor to God our Creator. We are the instrument, He is the song. He fills each heart with the joy of salvation. Sing out with joy, with praise loud and strong. With splendor, with great exultation, shout unto God all His praises proclaim. Let now the songs of the ones He created sound forth in splendor, rejoice in His name. Alleluia, praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Alleluia, praise the Lord and rejoice. Alleluia, praise the Lord with thanksgiving.
Together. And my name is Micah Herbster, and we have the privilege of leading the ministry team. This is my wife, Emily, and we just got married back in August, about 7.5 months ago, and we joined the full-time staff there at the camp just this past year, and thankful to have some other great friends that travel with us as well, and I'll let them introduce themselves at this time.
Well, good evening. My name is Marcus Baggett. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and went to Bob Jones University. Started going to Southland back in 2017. Spent 2 summers as a counselor and then a couple summers as well as an ops staff member. And then just started last January full-time traveling with the ministry team.
Well, good evening. My name is Micah Gillespie. I started on at Southland about a year ago. And then back in January, my wife and I got married. This is Emily. We both grew up in Ohio together. And I went to Maranatha. She went to Bob Jones and worked at the Wild Christian Camp in North Carolina. But I brought her to Southland. So.
Good evening. My name is Jonathan Fuller. I was born in Nova Scotia, Canada, and then lived in Wisconsin for 15 years. And then in 2018, my family and I moved to Easley, South Carolina. Currently, I'm a sophomore biblical studies major, and I just started traveling with the Southland team in January.
Okay, so we did you a favor. We made it super easy on you. If you can remember 4 names, you can remember the whole team, okay? Micah, Emily, Marcus, and Jonathan. All that we ask is that you keep the right Micah with the right Emily, and we'll all be okay in this situation, okay? But really, we're thankful for the chance to be here tonight, and this is our first service to have in Kansas, and Kansas is a particularly special state to me. I was actually born in the great state of Kansas, born and raised here, and so super thankful to be back in my home state. I was born in Overland Park, and so some of you may know where that is. And you're in a great state. But the Lord has given us basically the opportunity to travel full-time for Southland Christian Camp, which is in Louisiana. And as the night kind of progresses and we spend some more time together, we'll tell you more about our camp ministry. But really, our primary aim in the service this evening is not to showcase Southland. It's not to impress you. It's not to put on a show or to put on a performance. Really, the primary purpose of us being here this evening is to glorify the Lord together as a body of believers. And so I hope that as we sing and as we play our instruments and as you meditate on the truths of the text that we are sharing with you, that you would really engage your heart in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you would at this time, take your hymnal and turn to hymn 36. And we're going to be playing this hymn on our brass instruments, All Creatures of Our God and King. And this is a song that invites all of creation, the mountains, the trees, the animals, the humans, to join in praising our God who is the Creator. And I hope that you'll follow along with the text as we play this hymn and really be encouraged at the power that God possesses and His creative ability to speak all things into existence and to sustain us. Truly, He is an amazing God.
Thank you. the song we're about to sing next resonates with me personally in my own personal salvation testimony, specifically the verse in John 6 that says that all the Father gives to me will come to me, and he that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. And I just remember, kind of as a middle schooler struggling with assurance of salvation, having that mental picture of Christ with open arms and me coming to him and asking, and there's no chance that he's going to turn me away. And Jesus illustrated that with the parable of the prodigal son. And that son, as we all know, ran very far away from his father and wasted his father's money and wasted his life. But when he decided to come back and humbled himself and had the attitude of humility toward his father had compassion and embraced him with open arms as he came home. And even in my own life now, every time I read that parable, I immediately think of things in my own life that where I have wandered away from my father, and when I come back to him, he's always the same, and he always opens his arms to me and always is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness through Christ. And so the words of this next song are just a testimony of the humility that it takes to come back, but especially the love of the Father when we come back.
Sometimes when we go through life and things look hard and things look difficult, even things that have no relation to us in our lives, I think of even just on the news a couple days ago of the shooting in Nashville, and just things that go on in life that we possibly look at what happens and look at the events that unfold and ask the question to God, like, Lord, why is this happening? Why are things going the way that they are? And sometimes things look really dark and they look really, really grim. And maybe that's the case for you on a personal level tonight. You know, obviously we're here, and I don't know what you might be going through. You don't know what we might be going through, but no doubt all of us are going through something, at least on a minor scale. Maybe it's a big scale. I don't know. But I would just challenge you tonight, in light of what we just sang and then the song that we're about to sing for you as well, that you would reflect on all that happens in your life and in the lives of people around you, and then even on a national, on a global scale. And the results of all of that going on would be to praise the Lord. And I think sometimes that's hard to do. And it's something that maybe is easy to say, you know, especially here on a Wednesday night, maybe on a Sunday when you're in church or talking about the Lord with other people. But that's sometimes really hard to live out through the rest of the week, through the rest of our lives, that in everything that we do, we would praise the name of the Lord. His name would be glorified. This next song is entitled Above All Else, and it talks about just that very thing, that through all of creation that we see, through all the wonderful things that God does, but then also through the things that maybe we don't understand, through the hard times, through the difficulties, that we would put His name first, that we would exalt His name, and that He would be first in our lives. He would be glorified above everything else that we do. So I trust that this song will be an encouragement to you, a blessing to you. Focus on the words that we sing. It talks about Christ as well being our friend, someone that we can go to in time of need and get that comfort, get that peace and that rest. But listen as we sing this song, Above All Else.
And pray.
And I trust that is your desire as disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that above everything else that we could pursue in this old world, that above our money, above our finances, above our job, above our family, above our own personal gain, that the glory of God would take center stage in our life, that His name would be lifted up and exalted and praised above everything else. And I hope that our hearts are all attuned to that praise and that worship even this evening. And it is such a joy for us to be here. Pastor, thank you so much for the invitation. This is our first time to be at your church, and I think for many of you, probably the first time you've ever heard about our ministry. And so I want to take an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about Southland and where we're located and what God is doing in the sticks of Ringgold, Louisiana. How many of you have ever been to Louisiana before? Anybody in here? Okay, just a few hands. And so we're located about 900 miles from where we're sitting. Not 900. I'm sorry, like 500 miles. Okay, not quite that far. About 9.5 hours drive down to Ringgold. If you know where Shreveport is down in Louisiana, it's kind of the upper left-hand corner of the state. We're real close to Shreveport, long ways from New Orleans and pretty close to Dallas and different things like that. But we're actually celebrating our 30th year of ministry at the camp. And so the camp started in 1993. Before it was Southland Christian Camp, it was actually a Bible Memory Association camp. And so the actual property of the camp has been in existence since the early 1940s. And then in 1997, Tri-City Baptist Church, which some of you may be familiar with that church over in Kansas City, Missouri, obtained the property and started in 1993 what is now known as Southland Christian Ministries. And so for 30 years, we've been serving as a youth camp ministry. And very similar to what you would be familiar with here, like at Amazing Grace or even like Grandview Camp out west. And so we serve 10 weeks of summer youth camp where we invite teenagers from all over the United States, teen campers, junior campers, adult campers, where they come to the camp and they are inundated with the Word of God and have a really fun time with lots of fun activities. And it's really our mission that no matter who you are, where you're coming from, that every camper that comes to Southland and comes in under the preaching of the Word of God would just take the next step in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our theme verse for the camp is Philippians 3:10, which says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We believe that knowing Christ is the most important thing about a person's life. And so we're encouraging campers and the next generation to just pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look back on our banner as you walk out tonight, kind of our three taglines are to initiate passion for the Lord. Where when these campers come to Southland, man, we want them to know that a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ is the best possible life that can be lived. So we want to initiate passion for that in their own lives. Then we want to help them identify their purpose, which is what we have just sung about, that they would glorify the Lord. And everybody has that purpose, and it comes through salvation and surrender, and one day glorification too. That is the purpose that God has made us for. And then we want to help young people ignite their potential to do great things for the Lord. And we want them to know they can do great things for God in their youth. Apostle Paul said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. And so even you youth that are in here tonight, you can be an example. And that's what we're seeking to propagate there at Southland. And if you have any questions about our ministry, please stop by the table afterwards. We'd love to answer all of your questions. We're a camp with the same type of activities that many of you would be familiar with. We have a pool. We have a coffee shop. We have a zip line. We're putting in for the very first time, a big water slide, which is really exciting. We do paintball. We do archery attack. We do a rifle range. We have gaga ball, basketball courts, indoor gym, volleyball, and a lot of other really, really fun activities. And so if some of you kids want to know more about the activities, definitely come and talk to us afterwards. All right, we'll tell you all the details about all the fun stuff to do at Southland. And really, we covet your prayers as a ministry. And we know that you're partnering with a really great camp here in Kansas. And we're good friends with Brother Josh and the folks there at Amazing Grace. But we just want to be a resource to you and your ministry here. And that maybe one day we'll partner together and bring in your kids down to Southland. But at least pray for us, please. Pray that the Lord would continue to use our ministry for years to come. And even this summer, as we serve about 2,500 young people, that the Lord would do His work. What only He can do is what we're praying that He will accomplish this summer at Southland. A couple of things about our table in the back. You may have noticed this as you walked in, but as we travel, we carry a lot of promo material with us, brochures and books and CDs. Just wanted to tell you about a couple of those. I mentioned our summer coming up, summer 2023. This is our brochure. We have a theme this summer. It's Frontier Frenzy. And this will kind of give you an idea on the back of like the price and the different dates and then the different speakers that we have. And they're all listed here. A couple of really unique things that we do during our summer ministry as well. We do a family camp every summer. And it's always the July 4th week, so right smack dab in the middle, hottest part of the summer, okay? We invite everybody to come down to Southland and bring your family. And we run kind of like a VBS program. So the teens have their own program. The young people have their own program. The adults have their own program with adult speakers. And then it's a great time to just reconnect with your family, come to a new state that you've never been to. And we would love to have you join us for that. We also do a leadership camp for teenagers who are going into their sophomore year of high school all the way through graduated from high school. And that's called Light Camp, Leaders Increasing in Godliness, Holiness, and Truth. And then one final opportunity is a music camp that we're actually just offering this summer for the very first time, which is very exciting. You can bring your instrument, or you can bring your vocal cords, or you can bring your ability to play the piano and come to Southland, be a full-time camper, but also have some special emphasis on your musical abilities. And we are very passionate, as you can tell, about music and helping young people especially cultivate those gifts and mature in their abilities that the Lord has given them in the musical arena to use those and steward them for the glory of God in the local church. And so that's part of our passion for that. We have a brochure about that on the back table if you want more information. And we also have our ministry team brochure back there that is kind of like our prayer card. So I really encourage you to pick up one of these. There's some information about the team here on the back where you can find our itinerary and different things like that. We are embarking on a month-long trip through the state of Kansas, okay? And so this is our very first stop, and we'll be all over Kansas. We get all the way out to Ulysses, however you say that, okay? And we're all the way up to Olathe, and we're here in Salina, and so we're thankful to be in the state of Kansas for the next month. But our itinerary will be posted on our website, and encourage you to check that out and pray for us. And we also carry some books with us and some CDs as well that I just wanted to make you aware of, at least several devotional style books. One series that we carry is this, The Disciplines of a Godly Woman and the Disciplines of a Godly Man. These books have been super instrumental in my own life. When I was a teenager, my dad went through the disciplines of a godly young man or the disciplines of a godly man with me, and just really practical daily disciplines that men and women should be actively engaged in their spiritual lives. A great resource for your devotional life, and I know it'll be an encouragement to you. We also have devotionals for teenagers back there and young people, for youth as well. Hope you'll check those out, and hope they can be a blessing. One of my favorite books that we carry with us is a very practical book. Maybe many of you are raising children or kind of seeking to navigate a culture that has never been navigated before by Christian parents and Christian young people. And this is a book on technology entitled The Tech Wise Family: Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. And I read this book this last year and benefited greatly in my own personal life in managing and stewarding technology for the glory of God. How many of you know that technology can very, very easily and very quickly master our lives and rule our lives? Really, it should be the exact opposite. We should be the masters of technology, and rather than technology mastering our lives. And this book will be really simple principles, really practical steps to put into effect in your family and your personal life. So I encourage you to check out The TechWise Family. And there's other marriage books back there and other parenting books that hopefully you can take advantage of and enjoy on your way out. Then we also have a new branch of Southland that we've entitled Southland Music Services. This is something that we are very passionate about. It's kind of a musical branch where we're seeking to produce, propagate, and promote Christian music for the local church. And so what we're doing right now is actually building a website where music pastors, youth pastors, people in churches who are very interested in music in the local church can go to the Southland Music Services website and find downloadable music for the church, music philosophy, principles, music education, and a lot of other great resources in the musical sphere. And one of those, kind of that branch, part of the branch that we're seeking to propagate with Southland Music Services is to produce Christ-honoring music. And so this last year we produced our very first recording that I know will be a blessing to your heart, entitled Be Still. These are 9 piano solo recordings by our pianist, Micah Gillespie. Very familiar hymns that you would know, like Great is Thy Faithfulness, My Jesus, I Love Thee, Be Still My Soul, It Is Well, Nearer Still Nearer, How Great Thou Art, and several others. And this CD will encourage your hearts and really draw your mind and your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ through whatever you're facing in your life, that through the craziness and the storms of life, we can be still and know that He is still God. And so if you are interested in that musical recording, definitely let us know, and we'll have those on the back table. We also have a brass recording, a men's recording, a choral recording, and an orchestral recording back there. And so if you're interested in listening to some good Christian music, hopefully you'll stop by the table. The CDs are 1 for $12 or 2 for $20. You know, we could take cash, credit card, or check, whatever's easiest for you. Really, I just want it to be a resource to you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, I'm going to ask Marcus to come, and we're going to actually sing a congregational song together. So grab your hymnals, and he'll have us turn and sing together, and then we'll sing a few more here in just a moment.
Turn, if you would, to number 670. Maybe a new song to some of you. 670, Be Strong in the Lord. We'll sing all three verses. Stand with me, if you would. We'll sing this song, 670, Be Strong in the Lord. Songs to sing. And if you look at the top there of your of the page, it has a verse of scripture that this song comes from. Very familiar verse, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And obviously talking about that passage in Ephesians where we are told and talked about the armor of the Lord and how we should apply that to our own lives and use that as Christians. And this song speaks to all of that. And I would just draw your attention, though, to the very last line of the chorus that we've sung already. It says, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. You know, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, we already have that victory. You have that victory in Christ. Earlier, at the end of the first verse, it says, victory is sure when you call on his name. And number one, aren't you thankful for that victory? Praise the Lord for the victory that he has given us through Christ with his shed blood on the cross, that we can spend eternity in heaven one day with him forever. But then, too, what are you doing to share that victory with those around you? You know, obviously, we would probably say to not keep that victory to ourselves. If someone else had victory, you know, in their life and you were on the other side and didn't have it, I think we would all, at least in our minds, think, well, why would you not share that victory with me? Why would you not give me that good news? And I think it's good to think about it in that way sometimes, that it's the reverse. We have that victory. What are we doing to go share it to those around us who do not have it, who are not saved, who are not on their way to heaven? And I trust that we would, again, number one, rejoice in this truth, that it would encourage our hearts, it would bless our hearts, that as we go through our days, it would motivate us to serve God more and to be more faithful. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But then secondly, that we would share that to those around us. As I mentioned earlier, we live in a crazy world. A lot of crazy things happen. A lot of sad things, evil things happen. But through the power that God has given us, we can go and then take that power and share that to those around us. And I trust that you're doing that. You're singing well. Lift it up on this last verse. Think about the victory that we have in Christ.
Be strong in the Lord and be our God. Thank you.
great singing tonight. You may be seated.
This next song is, the lyrics actually come from a passage in Lamentations, which we're all very familiar with, but I wanted to remind you of what it says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. This next song is entitled Mercy Flows, and I want you to meditate on God's mercy and the vastness of it. In Ephesians 2, it starts out with talking about where we were before salvation. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. But then in verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, his mercy flows for you and for me, and it's new every morning. And I don't know about you, but I fail daily. And we need God's mercy. So rejoice with us as we sing Mercy Flows.
Thank you.
The piece I'm going to play for you next is number 119 in the hymnals, and it really flows really well right off of what the team just sang. It's a very familiar hymn to all of us, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I'm sure many of you are super familiar with the lyrics. I know for myself, I probably was more familiar with these lyrics than could quote them to anybody before I even really knew what my name was, honestly. But I love this song because it talks about one of the many reasons that we have as Christians to trust in our Lord and to praise Him in our own lives. Recently, as I was reading through this chorus and meditating on it, the phrase, "All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided," really stuck out to me. In your own life today, do you really believe that Christ has provided everything that you need? I know in my own life, so many times I'm caught up in what the world has to offer or these things that I feel like I need in order to really feel happy and content in this life. But the reality is that Christ provided everything that we need thousands of years ago on that cross. And everything else is just a gift from Him. But do you believe that tonight? And do you really act on that in your own life? I promise you that no matter what it is you're going through, what you have gone through in your past, or what you will go through one day, Christ promises that He will be faithful to us. And He has already provided everything that we need for this life by dying on that cross for us. So meditate on these things. I play "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Thank you. I don't know about you, but when Mike was playing, I just wanted to start singing with him while he's playing. Great song and great truth that the faithful God we serve is the same yesterday and today forever. Even when we're unfaithful to him, he is still the same God. And really, that truth really ought to motivate us to be faithful and return to him. Well, this last song we're about to sing to you tonight before Micah comes and preaches is a song entitled Come Unto Me. And in this song, it really addresses two different groups of people. It talks about weary sinners and feeble Christians. And when it talks about weary sinners, it says a weary sinner trying to seek peace and wealth and fame, stop doing it. Forsake your sin and shame and come unto Christ. And a scripture text that comes to mind for this thought is Matthew 11, verse 28. In Matthew 11, there are many unbelieving responses to the claim that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And there are many unbelieving responses that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And in verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so the call is, forsake the burden of your sin, repent of your sin and shame, and come unto Christ in saving faith. But then the second group of people addressed in this song, it talks about feeble Christians. And in the verse and the stanza talking about the feeble Christians, there's really a lot of imagery about a Christian being in the middle of waves and in the middle of a storm. In Matthew 14, Jesus comes walking on the water and the disciples see Jesus. And if you know the story, Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And Jesus said unto him, come unto me. You know what? In the midst of the waves beating against the ship, in the midst of the wind blowing, Jesus has come. And that's the same for our lives. In the middle of your storm, we can find rest and relief for our soul by coming unto Christ.
My heart is heavy laden, Lord. My flesh is worn and weak. Thy precious words of rest and peace, I long to hear thee speak. So mid the clashing noise of strife and struggle, turn my thoughts to thee, O Lord, that I may hear thee say, come unto me, come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Christian in dismay upon the waters deep, thy helpless, weak, and troubled soul, he promises to keep. So on the stormy sea of life, when listen for his still small voice and heed his beckoning call. Come unto me, come unto me. Come.
You know, really the question for us tonight, as we come to a culminating point in the service, is not really, well, friend, are you facing some difficulty in your life? You know, if we were to have the time tonight, we could probably sit and talk for perhaps hours of the trials and the storms and the situations that God is taking each of you through at this very moment. And so that's not really the issue. The issue and the question for all of us tonight is where are we going for comfort, for peace, for rest, for hope, midst the storm, midst the trial that God is allowing in our life? And I hope tonight that you are going to Christ. I hope that this is your source of comfort, that this is your source of joy, that your peace comes not in the stable government or the stable social situation that we are in, or the stable economy or a stable job, but that it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to take your Bibles for just a moment and turn to Mark's gospel in the fourth chapter, please. And really, for just a few moments, challenge our hearts with a situation that is taking place in the lives of the disciples, where we see an incredible response that the disciples have midst the trial that they are facing. Mark writes his gospel under inspiration of Scripture to kind of give us a history of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does it with a very key and a very pointed point. He has a real purpose in writing his writings of the Lord Jesus. And that is to prove that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Son of God. You're familiar with many of Jesus' statements where he claims that he is God. I and the Father are one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that he was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. But what Mark does is not only give us the statements of Jesus' claim to be God, but he shows us in illustration and story and account how Jesus in his life and in his ministry and in his work and his interactions with his disciples proved by the very works that he did that he was, in fact, who he said he was, and that is the Son of God. And in Mark 4, at the end of this busy season of Jesus' ministry, Jesus puts on display his incredible power, where the disciples drop back and they say, there is no way that this Messiah, this Jesus from Nazareth, could be anyone else but the Son of God. And so we'll begin our reading in Mark 4 and verse 36, where the Bible says this, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, that's Jesus, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. That's Jesus. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And the disciples in verse 41 feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Here is Jesus in a massive physical storm with his disciples as they journey across the Sea of Galilee amidst this busy time of ministry. And as they journey across the sea, a great storm arises. And as Jesus sleeps in the hinder part of the ship on the pillow, the disciples continue to row and to toil and to labor. And there is a panic that ensues in their lives as they journey through this storm across the Sea of Galilee. But notice the disciples' response tonight. You know, if there are any men in the New Testament that we could read about which had great experience on the Sea of Galilee in situations like this, it would be these disciples. I mean, you think about a man like Peter. This is what he did for a living, right? He was a fisherman. He journeyed the seas. He was out on the sea, on the lake for an extended period of time. This was a man who surely had experience and was very good at what he did. No doubt he had encountered storms like this in the past. And yet Peter and the other disciples who could have looked to their experience, who could have looked to their expertise, Know that in the midst of a trial, it's really not your experience or your expertise that's going to get you through the storm. And so notice the action that the disciples take. They go to the master who is asleep on the pillow and they ask him this curious question in verse 38. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, what a foolish question to ask the God of the ages, right? Well, Lord, don't you care? Don't you know what's going on? Of course he cares. Of course he knows. The Bible says that we should cast our care on him because he cares for us. And the disciples know that if they go to Jesus, they're going to find some peace. They're going to find some comfort in this situation. And I don't know what you're facing tonight, but perhaps there is the temptation, there is the propensity to go to things of this world, to go to your experience or your expertise. Go to your finances, go to your friends, go to some job stability, go to your own intuition to find comfort, to find peace from the storm that God is allowing in your life. And may I say to you very kindly and very boldly here tonight, you may go to those things and you may grapple for peace and long for joy and look for peace, but you may be looking in all of the wrong places because there is no place in this earth, there is no one or no thing that can satisfy and bring rest and comfort amidst the trials that we face in this life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, I'm here to encourage all of us tonight with the very simple reality that Jesus cares for the storm that you and I are facing tonight. If we would simply go to him. Notice in verse 40 what Jesus says in response to the disciples, really. And he asks two questions. Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You notice this sort of this dichotomy, right? There's the faith and there's the fear, and they don't intermingle. You know, you can't really have true faith and have fear. The Bible is very clear on this. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so there is safety and there is security when Jesus is in the boat. And no matter what you're facing, there is no need to fear. There is peace and rest available to when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Old Testament say? In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Bible says, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 reminds us that when we pass through the waters, he will be there with us. Oh, friend, look no farther tonight than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is very present with us, and find your comfort there. There is surety in going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice the response of the disciples after Jesus brings this calm after the storm. In verse 41, he says that they feared exceedingly. It's almost as if they look at this display of power, this display of Jesus Christ's ability, and say, wow, truly this is the Son of God. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And friend, may I just remind you tonight that the same God, the same Lord, the same Master, this Messiah who calmed the seas and calmed the raging storms in Mark chapter 4 is the same God that we serve and that we love here tonight. He is still on the throne. He's still reigning. He is still ruling. And he is still working his sovereign plan in your life. You remember what Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 28, that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And verse 29 gives us purpose to what God allows in our lives. That is to be made like our master, to be made like our teacher, to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Oh, friend, don't ever forget that God is allowing things in your life to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we find this hope, this security, this confidence in him, he is our comforter, we would be made more like him in the process. And oh, that we would look to him tonight, that we would go to him with faith, with no fear, and put our confidence and our trust in this Messiah, this Creator, this God who knows all, who sees all, who is still in control. We would trust him amidst the storms that he allows in our lives and pray to God that he would conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening? I pray this was an encouragement to all of our hearts, but I believe it'd be appropriate to give us an opportunity to respond to this truth and ask ourselves very seriously this question: amidst the trials that God allows, where are we going? Are we finding our peace and our comfort and our satisfaction and our security in Jesus Christ alone? Or are we doubting tonight that He is enough? That as He leads us and guides us, as He promises to, that we shall not want? Let's go to Christ tonight. Father, in these moments of stillness, I pray that You would work in our hearts and do what only You can do. Help us to go to You no matter what we are facing. Help us to trust You. Help us to place our confidence and our security in You. For You are able. You are still on the throne. You are our God. Overwhelm us with that reality even tonight. And work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Mike is just going to play one verse of an invitation hymn. Right there in your seats, just do business with God and take those burdens to Him. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Lord, tonight I pray that we would find comfort and peace and joy in that sweet haven of rest. Oh, Lord, You are so good to us. You are so rich in mercy, as we have heard sung tonight. And I pray that that would overwhelm our hearts. Lord, we give You great praise for the Lord Jesus Christ, who in His mercy and grace came to this earth to die for our sins, to live a perfect life, and to raise again on the third day to give us life everlasting. And I pray that we would find confidence in that even tonight. We would rejoice in this Jesus, this Messiah, and that we would look to Him amidst the trials and the storms that we face, and we would find Him to be the sure rock that He is. Lord, we love You tonight. Continue to use this church and this community and build our faith, build our endurance. Cast out fear in our lives. We love You and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor, I think we're going to sing one more song, if that's okay. Your pastor told me right before the service, you need to sing as much as you possibly can. And so we'll sing one more and then Pastor will turn it over to you. It's been such a joy for us to be here with you tonight. I hope that some word of testimony or song or the preaching would just be an encouragement to your heart to continue to press on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we dismiss, we'll sing one final song, which reminds us and draws all of our attention to who Jesus is. He is Jesus. He's the Rock of Ages. He's our Messiah, and He is our King.
Peace, Lord, our refuge.
God, love her just.